Go ahead and turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. I've been thinking about our theme, partakers of the divine nature. And when I think about our theme, I think about just how much is involved in wanting to be a partaker in the divine nature. It is something that we know it is honorable, glorious, it's noble. But the more we think about it, the more I think about it, the more I realize how challenging it is to be a partaker in the divine nature. Meaning I need to put off my own nature and put on this divine nature. That's challenging. That's not something that's easy. And that's not something that we're ready to do most of the time. But if we're seeking to be partakers in this divine nature, we have to understand how privileged we are because of God's word and what it reveals to us and the nature of God and how much he wants us to partake. We have to be ready. We have to be very thankful. So tonight, I would like to talk about three divine attributes. Three divine characteristics that usually would describe God. But as we read through the scriptures and as God reveals more knowledge to us, we come to understand that these three things he wants us to do. I'm sure at some point you've heard it been said, everything that God wants us to do, he has already done to us. And I want to bring out that truth tonight. And I want us all to focus in on that. Ezekiel chapter 16. I know, first of all, when we think about the divine nature, the first thing that we want to focus on tonight is blessing others, the blessing of others. And in this way, it's not meaning the happy feeling, even though that's an effect. But I mean, when we have something, we're giving it to other people. When we have much, we decide that we wish to share. And the first thing we need to recognize is that is a divine attribute because it's something that we see God doing constantly. But on a side note, we also know that he judges. And concerning a specific nation that he judged, Sodom, we know that Sodom was judged for many things, terrible things that were going on in that land. But what I think is interesting is when we turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, we get to see a very particular reason why Sodom was judged. If you would read with me, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, it says, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." Wait a minute. "But did not aid the poor and needy." And needy. What's the message he's trying to bring out there? What is he trying to say with this nation? This nation, Sodom, had all. It was very abundant. Obviously, they had good possessions and wealth. But the problem that he brings out here is they didn't share what they had. They didn't partake in this divine nature, if you will. But that's not just it. When we look at that in the Old Testament and when we see how God constantly judges nations according to this, he brings it all the way to the New Testament. Turn with me to Luke 16, Luke chapter 16. Let's read a few verses about the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16 and starting in verse 19, it says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, Remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. The point that we're supposed to take from that is blessed people need to share what they have. Blessed people need to be concerned about blessing others. But how can we make that connection? How can we truly come to understand that? Well, we ask, why? Why do blessed people need to be concerned about blessing others? Why do those who have need to be concerned about giving over to others? Well, when we think about what happens when we don't, what happens when we don't give what we have? Well, we begin to trust too much into that. We begin to rely too much on the things that we have. And in fact, if we have a hard time, a difficult time in giving up something, then that should serve as a warning to us. That should remind us and tell us that, uh-oh, here I'm having such a difficult time giving up either my money, giving up either my time or my other resources, and the problem is I'm too attached to it. But can we say that's partaking in the divine nature? Of course not. So what's the problem there? Well, there may be an issue that we may become too attached to what we have. And as we've read here, blessed people need to be concerned about blessing others. Why? Because it doesn't make any sense for blessed people not to be concerned about blessing others. And I think that's the message that God is trying to bring out here through these examples, is that it doesn't make any sense if we don't. It makes perfect sense to him. And to us, naturally, we think, well, I have my things. I'm going to enjoy my things. But with God, it doesn't stop there. It never just stops there. He wants us to share these things. I don't want to get into some political argument or anything like that. He's not talking specifically to countries and countries or specific groups. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. What am I going to do? What are you going to do with the things that you have? If we wish to partake in this divine nature, blessed people then must be concerned about blessing others. And it doesn't always have to be our money. It could be our time, resources, energy. So how? How can blessed people be concerned about blessing others? How do I show that to God? Well, what if I see somebody who's hungry? What if I see somebody who's naked? What if I see somebody who's thirsty? You know the answer to that. I feed them. I clothe them. I give them something to drink. That's showing God that I wish to partake in his divine nature. But more than that, what if I see somebody who's lonely? What if I see somebody who's depressed? Well, I go to them. I talk to them. I comfort them. We encourage them. That's partaking in the divine nature. But that's not all that we have. The second thing is forgiven people need to forgive others. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Forgiven people need to forgive others. Forgive others of what? Their debts. Let's read about this parable here of the unforgiving servant. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And I don't know about you, but every time we read that story, it's humbling. It's challenging. But it reminds us of something. That forgiving somebody else is partaking in the divine nature. It is something of God. It is something that He has been wanting us to do since the beginning. And if I want to partake in His nature, these are the things I have to do. But why? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll figure that out. Matthew chapter 6. This is the perfect example to bring this out. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 14. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Once again, humbling, challenging, fills us up with fear. Did I forgive that person? Did I let that action go? Did I let those words go? Every time we come to these verses, it should challenge us to think, man, have I truly forgiven that person? Have I forgiven them the way that God has forgiven me? That's the point. But have I let it go? Is it gone from me? Did I truly forgive? That is giving it away, handing it over to Christ. Let me tell you something. You know, we hear about how, you know, Jesus says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." And for the longest time, you think about what that is. Vengeance. Okay. That means when somebody hits me, I'm not going to hit them back. Or if they make me really mad, I'm not going to make some type of rash action. But I remember when I was riding my bicycle to school every day, going to Florida College, okay? Almost got hit by a car every single day because Florida drivers are terrible. I would know, I just got back from there, as you know. But let me tell you, every time that happened, I thought, that guy, man, or that person, if they don't learn how to drive, Lord, you know, I'm coming up with all of these things. But then I thought about it. Maybe when he says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," He's not just talking about physical actions. He's talking about what I'm thinking. He's talking about what I'm saying. And if I watch those things, if we watch those things, when we're in that circumstance, when we're in that situation, if we act like Christ, we forgive. That's partaking of the divine nature. And so it's for us to understand that when we need to forgive people, it's not simply about holding back our hands. It's holding back our minds. It's holding back our tongues. And if we seek to partake in His divine nature, that is something we will remember and we will continue to practice. And how do we do that practically? What actions can we make today? Heard it been said, if you have something against God, lay your offer there at the altar. Go be reconciled to that brother. And then bring your offering. I would say if you have some type of problem or some type of issue that you need to forgive, that you need to let go, do it now. Do it today. Make that action. Because the longer we think about it, the longer it's there in our hearts, the harder it will be to let it go. The harder it will be to forgive. And we're no longer trying to partake in our own nature. We're trying to partake in the divine nature. So what do we have to do? We have to deal with the things that are making us so angry. We have to deal with the things that annoy us. We have to forgive. And we forgive truly with our hearts and our minds and our actions. and from our tongues. That's what it means to partake in the divine nature. And lastly, this is the biggest. Saved people must participate in saving others. And I want to get to the answer why immediately. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When I was coming up with this lesson, I was trying to find any other really good example that could bring out that point. That could bring out how, why saved people need to be participating in saving others. There is no greater example than this. Because Christ died for us. That's why. But why does it mean I need to be doing this? Why does it mean that partaking in the divine nature is participating in the salvation of others? Well, then you just need to think about yourself. Think about yourself. Where have you been? Where have I been? We have not all been in Christ every single day of our lives. While we were still weak, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. And I tell you, what better way to show our gratitude than to do the same thing for someone else? What better way? You think about that. Think about a parent and a child. Perhaps this parent is working on a house, or, you know, they're trying to build maybe this small little dollhouse or anything like that. Child comes along and says, "I want to build that just like you." Have you ever had, I remember doing this when I was younger, whenever my dad would come home from work and he'd put his boots down and I'd want to get inside his boots and walk around and act like I'm dad too. I want to be just like my dad. Why do we do that? Why do children do that? It's a blessed thing, I would say, for a parent to see something like that. It's blessed because you can see your child wanting to be just like you. And there is no better way to express your gratitude, to express just how much you want to be like them, than to follow after them in their footsteps. Quite literally. That's what it means to partake in the divine nature. That is why we have to do it. But if that is not enough, we need to consider a few things. It should be enough when we consider the result. What happened to Sodom? Destroyed. What happened to the rich man with Lazarus? Destroyed. What happened to the unforgiving servant? Locked up until he pays back everything. What happens to the enemies and those who are lost when we don't partake in the divine nature and seek to save them? Well, they remain enemies, and they remain lost. But more importantly, I think we need to take in this word from Jesus himself when he is being questioned by a Pharisee. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. This is starting in verse 34. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law, in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so now we understand. All of what it means to give, all of what it means to forgive, all of what it means to participate in someone else's salvation is based on these two passages. Loving God and treating others like myself. It's based on those two greatest commandments. If there is anybody who is seeking to participate, to partake of the divine nature, these are the two greatest commandments we need to follow. Because when we love God, we understand what He's trying to do. Is He not trying to give to others? Is He not trying to forgive? Is He not trying to save? And when we love our fellow man, we come to understand that they are needy and we have to give. That they have sins and they need to be forgiven of, just as we did. And that they are lost and they need to be saved. And what better way to look at the divine nature and how that is played out, how that is acted through, than the perfect example of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 15. It says, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." The example there is that God gave his only son. That's our perfect example of partaking in this divine nature. If we are seeking to give, what better way to give than to follow after Christ? What is better to give than the words of Christ and of God? He's a perfect example in forgiveness. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 7 it says, "In him," this is Paul speaking, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." He forgives us. Perfect example of partaking in this divine nature. And lastly, of course, in the saving of our souls. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." He came into the world to save sinners. And so, when we consider, how do we partake in the divine nature? And we consider more and more how we can better ourselves and how do we participate in the things that God wants us to do. These are the three things we have to remember and we have to continue to do. We have to give up of the things we have. And I can't tell you what exactly to give up. I can't tell you what all you need to give up. You know what that is. But if you ever find yourself becoming too attached to the things that you have, or too dependent on all of your possessions, then there's an issue. There's a problem. And perhaps indeed there is many things to give. But remember, it's not just about that. Give up your time, your energy, your other resources that you have, to encourage, to help, to nourish someone else. We're also going to forgive others. And we're going to forgive others in the way that God has forgiven us. No longer looking at these things and remembering all the bad things that happened to us, but we're forgiving. We're letting it go. We're remembering that forgiveness is not just about holding back our hands. It's holding back our tongues. It's holding back our minds. And if we are going to partake in the divine nature, we have to be about the work of our Father, and that is participating in somebody else's salvation. And if there is any doubt as to why we need to do that, you look at yourself, and we remember where we once were and where we are now. Thanks to God. And so I hope that we all remember that those who are seeking to partake in his divine nature, those who are truly seeking to be like Christ, it doesn't make any sense for those who have not to give. It doesn't make any sense for those who have been forgiven not to forgive, and those who have been saved not to be concerned about saving others. And thus may we all seek to be partakers in his nature.